Two readings, as it states in the church notices. Matthew 5, 13 to 16, page 916. And the second one is Colossians 4, 2 to 6, page 1119. Matthew. It's headed, Salt and Light. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Let's now move to the second reading, Colossians 4, 2 to 6, and it's headed Further Instructions. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders, and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversations be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. We thank the Lord for his word.
So at Pangzenga, we've been doing this fruitfulness on the front line as well. And so when Andrew said to me, oh, we're doing it, so can you preach one of those? I got really excited because I thought I can recycle. That'd be brilliant. But Andrew's given me the one theme that I've not preached on in Pangzenga and gave to someone else. So you'll be pleased to know I've not recycled anything this morning. But I guess we're looking at how we want to make a difference in our workplaces, in our family lives, in the world around us. And I don't know about you, but when I look at the headlines, when I check my Twitter feed, when I go on the internet, I look around at this country, our community, the world in general, and I can be a bit lost for words. It can seem like there's a mountain. It feels intimidating, doesn't it, by all the news and negativity. And I'm lost to think, how can I make a difference in that? Or maybe a bit closer to home. Maybe you don't need to check your Twitter feed, read the newspaper. You just know how difficult your family life is. And you go, how on earth can I make a difference in that? How can we make change? And this is what Paul writes about in the reading from Colossians. He's all through the book of Colossians, he's helping us to understand what a life centered around Jesus can look like. And then we come to the end of Paul's letter. And he changes his focus a little bit. So from how Jesus can make a difference into our lives, to how we can change the world around us. Paul encourages us to look out. He says, when we look out, we're able to put Jesus at the centre. So what does he say? How does this happen? Well, first of all, Paul tells us we need to reach up. We need to reach up if we're going to make a difference. Now, I know all of you are busy people. We've got a lot going on in our lives. We've got families, we've got friends, hopefully. We've got commitments at church, we've got commitments at home, we've got commitments at work. We've got all these situations that we're trying to sort out in our lives. And the risk is, when we're so busy, that prayer and worship end up at the bottom of our to-do list. This prayer can be something that we turn to only in a moment of need or crisis. And I don't know about you, but personally, I've struggled with prayer over my Christian life. And mostly that's to do with how easily I get distracted. Maybe I'm the only one. But sometimes when I go, most times when I go to pray, and I, all those things that up until that point seems really dull and meaningless suddenly take on an immense importance and urgency. Whenever I sit down to be quiet and pray and reflect, I develop this passion for hoovering and cleaning and doing all the dull kind of jobs that we get. And Paul tells us in the book of Romans that no one naturally seeks God. Prayer is not natural. By very nature of prayer, we're entering into a relationship with our Father through Jesus, and that is supernatural. And then at the other end of the spectrum, when we found tough times in our lives, when we don't even know what to pray, the Holy Spirit, we can't find the words to express, and Paul tells us the Holy Spirit takes over and helps us to communicate what we need to in prayer. And Paul writes in this passage in Colossians, devote yourself to prayer. Devotion's not a word we often use in our vocabulary that much today. We tend to just rather use the word we commit ourselves. And we commit ourselves to a lot of things. We're faithful in so many ways. I'm sure many of us are very faithful and committed when it comes to watching football or rugby. And Paul says we are to devote ourselves into prayer. We're to be faithful in prayer. Another translation writes it, pray diligently. Continue in prayer. Keep praying. Prayer is a discipline. It's something that creates, we need to persevere and persist in prayer. We need to develop this zeal for prayer. Because it's when we understand that we're devoted first and foremost to prayer, that the Holy Spirit can come in and change us. And as the Holy Spirit changes us and gets a capture of who we are, changes our hearts, then we're able to reach out to others with the love and grace of Jesus. We can't be fruitful unless we first reached up to God in prayer. And the other thing that we're to do in prayer, it's really interesting that Paul tells us that prayer is our defense weapon. Willpower will only get us so far. We need prayer in order to stand against temptation and everything else. We're told that we are to be, in Colossians 3, holy people. To be holy means to be set apart, to be different from those around us. That's the whole point, isn't it, of this fruitfulness in the front line. We are different from other people that we work with because we have Christ living in us. So we're meant to behave differently. We're not meant to get into the gossip and the slander and everything else. That's what Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer, to pray, lead us not into temptation. We are called as church, as a body of Christ, to pray. It's the foundation of all that we do. If we want to see breakthrough in our workplaces, in our family lives, in the world situation, in our community, that starts with passionate, persevering prayer. Paul tells us to reach up in prayer. And when we reach up in prayer, we're able to reach out to everyone around us. Did you know you are all ministers this morning? Did you know that? Two of you did, brilliant. But we are all ministers. You and I are ministers of the gospel. Andrew and I, in one sense, have the title of ministers, but basically our job, our role, is to equip the saints to do good works. You are the saints. You are the ministers. Andrew needs to be equipping you to do the good work that God set you to do. To be ministers in your workplace, in your businesses. You're the ones that are out there. Andrew and I spend most of our time in churches, which, you know, it's tough to be gracious in churches. We all know that. But we're not the ones on the school gate all the time or in the business place, whatever it is in family life. Our job is to equip you to be those ministers. And in this passage in Colossians, Paul gives us some really practical help on how we can reach out to those around us. How we put Jesus at the centre. And it's interesting. I think it's fascinating when we look at Paul, when he's writing this. He's in prison. And what's the one thing he prays? If you look at verse 3 and 4 with me. It says, at the same time, pray for us, that God will open us a door for the word, that we may declare the mystery of Christ for which I am in prison, so that I may reveal it clearly as I should. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was Paul and if I was in prison, I would be praying, get me out of here, God. I don't want to be here. But that's not what Paul prays. Paul says, pray that that we have an opportunity to share the word of God. How often do we pray that God would change our situation in our workplace, in our family life, rather than praying that in that situation we may shine a light for Jesus? In that situation that's difficult, that's overbearing, that we might be able to show the gospel of Jesus to those around us. Paul encourages the church here that there's a sense of urgency in reaching out. He says that we are to take courage. How are we to do that? Well, we're to do that by conducting ourselves wisely. Paul encourages this church and us to act wisely, in the knowledge that people will look at our actions to see what Jesus is like. Our actions speak louder than words. That doesn't mean we don't have to speak words. We do have to tell people about the gospel. But first of all, we need to show them what the gospel looks like. And a few years ago, Pope Francis, because I just like to get in the Catholic side as well under all my other denominations, he wrote a paper on what mission was. And he wrote this document called The Joy of the Gospel, because the gospel is joyful. And in it he writes this: every Christian is a missionary to the extent that he or she has encountered the love of God in Christ Jesus. And if we are not convinced, look first at the disciples, who immediately after encountering Jesus went forth to proclaim him joyfully. And then the Pope asked this question: so what are you waiting for? What are we waiting for? We are all missionaries. You and I represent Jesus wherever we are, whoever we're with. We all know we struggle sometimes. We all know people who struggle because they have no hope. And we have a hope. There is a joy in the gospel that we can share with others. How we act matters. What we do matters. And people will be watching us. People will be watching you as you go through difficult times to see how you react. It's Nicky Gumbel, one of the megachurch leaders, that writes Christians are a little bit like tea bags. You don't know what they're like until you put hot water on them. And that's what we're meant to be like. That's where we're tested in those situations. And it's not about trying harder to change the culture around us. It's not if we have enough willpower, then we can change things. Because let's be honest, we all fail when we try to make a difference. We can only make a difference when we're empowered by the Holy Spirit to be used for His glory. And then we can change the culture of our family and workplaces. Paul then goes on to write, be gracious. In verse 6, he tells the believers in Colossae, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer be seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer everybody. I've got to be honest, I find it really hard to be gracious. I find it incredibly hard to be gracious. And sometimes that's where we have to come back to prayer, and prayer being our first priority, because it's only as we receive grace that we're able to demonstrate that grace to other people. It's only as we receive the grace that Jesus offers us on the cross and his resurrection that we are able to administer grace to others. And we can do that despite of our mess, our failures, because we know that we are loved, we are forgiven, and then we have the most remarkable calling to live like Jesus, to represent Jesus in our lives to others. And so as we go out into our front lines, we are to be so filled with God's grace that it overflows. And as we are filled with God's grace, then we are able to change that culture around us. And that's what Jesus said, didn't he, way back in Matthew, that reading, that we are to be salt, we are to be light, we are to change those cultures around us. Now, if I was to add something to that, just in case Jesus' words weren't enough, I would say that actually we're meant to be almost like a thermostat rather than a thermometer. So much in our world is we reflect the culture that is around us. We're just a thermostat. But God calls us to be a thermometer, because a thermometer actually changes the temperature. It changes the environment. It changes the culture. And that's the role that you and I have. We are meant to be that catalyst for change. We're not meant to reflect the culture around us. We are meant to be culture changers. And we can do that by being filled with God's grace and God's love. We can change a workplace. You know what it's like when you walk in to your office in that staff room environment sometimes, to play on a stereotype, and everyone's just moaning about some work colleague. How countercultural is it just to say a word of grace and positivity? Not to ignore it, because to ignore it is to condone it, but to change it. To see stuff in people that no one else sees, and to highlight that so that people see it in a different circumstance. In your family life, we've all got that weird relative that we don't really like and we all moan about. You know, because some of you are laughing. Or if not, you are that weird relative, if you don't know. But there is, isn't there? Oh, I can't believe they did that. Oh, I can't believe they acted in this way. And we, as Jesus' disciples, are meant to change that culture, to put in a word of grace, a word of love. Not because we're perfect, not because we're goody-two-shoes, but we know how fallen and messed up we were. We know what a wreck our lives were before Jesus came. And so we are meant to share that with others. And the best place to do that, the best place to start, is here, in church. Because let's be honest, we fall into the same mistakes as everyone else. How about that really irritating person in church that always moans about the heating or songs being sung too many times? Instead of agreeing, let's come up with something positive. And I've got to be honest, I find this really hard, because I'm not very gracious, as I said before. My immediate reaction is to slap someone in the face rather than be nice. That's why it's countercultural. But it's so important that we do that. And as we model that here in this place of safety, where we can hold each other accountable, so that when we speak a negative word, someone will say, hang on, that's not right. And we change it to see Christ in each other, then it's a heck of a lot easier to see Christ in others, in our workplace and in our families. And that's the challenge that we've got from these scriptures. That we are to reach up to God, be so filled with the Holy Spirit, that overflows, that we can change the culture around us, so that we are known as Jesus' disciples, not just by how we love each other, but how we love those everywhere we are. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that your word is an encouragement and a challenge. And Father, we ask for forgiveness for times when we just take on the culture around us, when we don't act in the light of the transforming power of your gospel. Holy Spirit, would you come and be with us now? Would you fill us now, that we may be so filled with the grace that Christ offers, that we will shine for you, God, in our workplace. Holy Spirit, would you silence us when we are tempted to speak negatively, when we are tempted to walk in the way of the world. And Holy Spirit, would you convict us this week for where we need to speak up to change the culture around us? Not so that we look great, but so that we can point to the one who is greater and higher than anyone else. Holy Spirit, help us to truly be a gospel people wherever we find ourselves this week, that we will change our culture, that it will be centered around you and you alone. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.